Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Hi, I'm Willie King, and this is The Bigger Picture. The S&P 500 rallied on the back of strong tech performance on Monday, rebounding from its biggest weekly loss since March last year, as investors looked ahead to quarterly earnings from the big tech giants. Both the S&P 500 and Nasdaq so far has ended a six-day losing streak. We have companies like Tesla, Meta Platforms, Microsoft, and Alphabet all set to report this week. Now, what's the outlook for the broader US markets, including technology? How will the dollar currency fare against emerging markets? And while there's a divergence between a strong US market performance and a slightly weaker performance in China, what's the outlook for the world's second largest economy? Joining us on the line as we unpack all of this is Ben Luke, Senior Multi-Asset Strategist at State Street Global. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good morning, Willie. I'm very good. Thank you.
Well, we have seen, you know, talking about markets going straight into currencies. I just want to talk about, you know, where do you see the dollar trending right now? And how do you think Asian currencies are performing, you know, noting about the potential delayed rate cuts here?
We continue to see a relatively stronger dollar environment. We have seen that already in Q1. And the momentum really continues on when we actually look at both the economic growth situation, as well as a higher than expected inflation surprises that we have seen in the US, which basically leads to the Fed to continue to push out its potential first rate cut. And we're still saying rate cut right now, right? But if things continue to improve more on the upside, we could obviously see no rate cuts or even a potential rate hike. All of that simply means that US yields would continue to grind a little higher. And that's really going to drive also the dollar higher against all of the G10 space. And more importantly, it will also impact Asian currencies. I think it really depends on the volatility environment. Right now, the volatility is still quite low, which means that I think the lower or low yielding currencies would be more under pressure, like Asia. But if we actually do move or transition towards a more higher volatility environment, then I think the carry currencies would actually be a little bit more on the downside. But for now, we think obviously Asia looks to be more disappointing comparing to the rest of EM.
I mean, talking about volatility here, I mean, we have seen also recently how the tech sector has also perform in the markets. You know, on one hand, you have a brief sell-off from the big tech giants. But on the other hand, I think the markets are also expecting the earnings season coming in. So what are some of the opportunities in equities? What sort of opportunities in markets and sectors are you advising your clients and opportunities for investors?
The benefit of obviously being in State Street is we are a custody bank, and we do actually see a lot of how institutional investors move their money in and out of the market. And right now, we are actually starting to see that institutional investors are unwinding some of the U.S. equity position, as well as some of the U.S. tech space as well. And we could consider that more of a profit taking for now, as opposed to really a massive unwind, because they're still very much largely overweight that sector and that market. With respect to our view, we continue to stick with also overweighting U.S. equities. It still generates the highest earnings growth relative to the rest of the other markets that we track. In particular, U.S. tech, or what most people consider as Magnificent Seven, to your earlier point, Willie, is a very important week because it is an earnings season. Earnings expectation is now north of 30% first quarter EPS growth. That's a very, very high number to beat, to be honest, which is why it is a market where investors are a little bit more skeptical now, given that they have overweight this market for such a long time. But when it comes to actually owning something that has quality and it is defensive in a way that there is a very, very good balance sheet in many of these tech markets that we track, it's still a market that we like. Whereas I think outside of the US, we are underweight EM, we're underweight also Pacific X Japan as a way to fund the overweight in the US equity market.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about emerging markets here, I mean, the spotlight is typically shine on the Magnificent Seven. How about emerging markets? I mean, how did they perform? And I know you have your underweight in the EM and ex-Japan equities. What are the opportunities and risks do you think investors should be looking out for?
EM continues to struggle on two fronts, unfortunately. One being that the higher for longer narrative that we continue to see means that there's just simply less liquidity going into the region. And the second thing, unfortunately, is yes, we have seen a better than expected GDP surprise from China, but there's still this lack of fiscal response that everybody's hoping for them to at least revive the overall growth story. I think what China is still committed right now is protecting the currency, and that is at the expense of actually trying to reviving the economy. More obviously needs to be done in terms of the fiscal policy side to boost sentiment before we actually move back towards an overall neutral position within the EM space. Another thing, obviously, is if we actually see a clear intention for the Fed to cut rates. But unfortunately, both of these factors are still headwinds for the region, which is why we are comfortable to keep the underweight for now.
Speaking of the Fed rate cuts you have mentioned, I mean, one thing which I would like to ask, you know, what are the impact of the Fed rate cuts in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, so Southeast Asia is slightly more unique in a way that it's different from North Asia, where it is a market where inflation will be a bigger factor comparing to North Asia. Mm. And in particular, given the geopolitical tensions that we're seeing, the spillover effect from commodity prices being higher could obviously drive some of the Asia economies also a little bit higher in terms of its inflation, given that we are naturally net oil importers, right, as opposed to many parts of the EM space. So that's obviously going to be the first concern, which is a slightly higher inflation momentum that we need to face within the region. But the second thing also remains to be the fact that Southeast Asia is also more a bond market centric economy,
right,
as opposed to North Asia, which is an equity driven market economy. So given that the Fed continues to push out its rate cut potential, that will obviously mean that in general, spreads are unlikely going to tighten for many of these Southeast Asian bonds. And that's going to be an impact for bond flows to come in to the region. So we are net negative as well in terms of both Southeast Asian bonds, as well as the Asian FX market for now, given the overall signals that we're seeing from the U.S. It really depends on when the first cut will come. Our expectation is still September that the first rate cut will come. And if that's going to be the case, then I think it will be a brighter spot in the last quarter of the year for Southeast Asia.
We have been speaking with Ben Luke, Senior Multi-Asset Strategist at State Street Global Markets. Thank you so much for your insights, Ben.
Thank you.
Stay with Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.